Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, good evening. How are you guys? Everyone feeling good? Are you excited about September 15th? What is September 15th? We're moving. That was a test. That was a test. Okay, repeat after me. September 15th. September 15th. When I say September, you say? September. September. Ah! I mean, it feels like a pep rally for a sports event, right? We could all sprint to Lippo Plaza right now. Man, it's so exciting. I've been able to see where the renovations are at this point, and it is so cool. Some of the staff were there even until midnight last night, overseeing some things and just a lot of things going on to finish up. It is so, so exciting. So next week will be our last place, our last Sunday here at Cambridge, and then the 15th we will be at Lippo Plaza. So it's so exciting. I'm also excited about this series, What's Next? This is based on a book by Pastor Chris Hodges, and this is week number 2 that we're going through this series, and it is all about helping you find what's next in your life. Because I believe, and I said this last week, every single one of us in this room is on a spiritual journey. Everyone in here, you are on a spiritual journey, and it doesn't matter if you are just beginning the journey. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chris, I'm not really even sure who God is. You're at the beginning of this journey. Maybe you've been in church for 20 years. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. It doesn't matter if you're at the beginning or you've been on the path for a while. Every single one of us have a next step. There's some place that we can go. There's something we should be chasing after. Every single one of us should be chasing something. You never get anywhere if you're not chasing something. We all should be chasing something. We all need to know what is important and what matters and what is worth chasing in this life. I was thinking this week about me and Pastor Carrie and our dating relationship. If you've been here for a while, you know we are high school sweethearts. We dated in high school. But our dating relationship was like this. We would date and break up, and date, and break up, and date, and break up, and date, and break up. Anyone have relationships like that ever? When I describe our relationship in high school, it was like, if you've ever watched the TV show Friends, we were like Ross and Rachel. And it was like we spent as much time on a break as dating, right? I mean, it was constantly like that. I mean, we're passionate people. Anyone else passionate people? I mean, we had passionate fights. We had passionate times of getting back together. Maybe now that we're married, maybe there were times where we're too passionate. That's why we have 4 kids. You know, there's a positive to being passionate people. Amen? Married people, I mean. Amen? Married people. But passionate. And I was thinking about one of these times, as much as it hurts my heart, thinking about one of these times when we were broken up. We were on a break, and Carrie went out with another guy. See, all the guys. Carrie, do you see all the guys on my team? No, I'm just kidding. She told me to be careful with this because she said next time she speaks, she's going to tell some stories about me. So I'm being very careful about this. If we were broken up, it was my fault, right? It would have been my fault anyway. But let me get myself out of trouble while I continue this story. But it was one of these times we're broken up, and she goes out with another guy. And let me just tell you, how many of you guys know that when you are in a relationship, there is always some other guy hanging out in the shadows waiting for you to mess up? You know that, right? How many of you hate that guy? You hate him. He's right there, and he's watching because he knows you're going to mess up, and then he's going to swoop in. Oh, yeah, you're right. He is a jerk. I've always known that. I don't even know why you were with him. You're so much better. We know that guy. I hate that guy. There's always someone in the shadows. Let me give you a little side point that has nothing to do with the message, but guys in a relationship, that dude hanging out in the shadows is normally one of your friends. Friends, right? Come on. I'm just putting that there. Just putting that there. Anyway, so she's on a date with this other guy, and do you know what I did? I chased them that night. I chased after Carrie that night. I chased around. I got in my car, and I chased them. Even when the guy pulled his car into Carrie's driveway at her house to let Carrie out, I pulled my car right in behind them. I was chasing them. I pulled in, and I turned my lights on bright because I was not going to let there be a goodnight kiss. Anyone know? It makes me sick to think about it. I mean, it makes me sick to think that could have happened. So I just sat there with the lights on. What, bro? Free country? I can sit here all night. You know, the next week we got back together. That's how that works. You got to chase things that matter, right? You have to chase what's important. The reason I was chasing Carrie, I don't even know if I realized it then, but I was in love with her. I was chasing her like a crazy person that night because she matters to me. She's important to me. I was chasing her, and this was something I know I didn't know then, but what I've learned as the years have gone by, because she is part of my purpose. Being beside her is part of my purpose in life. Having her beside me is part of her purpose in life. God's plan was for us to live this life together. That was the plan. So you have to learn what is important and chase those things. You know, I had a friend that hurt his foot chasing something important to him. He got his foot hurt so bad chasing what was important to him, he had to have an operation on his foot. He was chasing the ice cream truck. Any of you just love ice cream? And have any of you ever chased the ice cream truck? In the U.S., it's a truck. Here, usually, it's like a guy on a bicycle. And let me see if this works. Can you hear it? 3 people just ran out of the back door. But you know, you hear that music, and you're like, let me cancel that. You hear that music, and suddenly you're running in the house. You got to find all the loose change. If you're a kid, you're like, Mom, give me some money, give me some money. I got to go out and get the... That's what my friend did. He ran in the house. He's trying to get some money. But in the U.S., it's not a bicycle. It is a truck. And so he ran chasing what was important to him, ice cream, and he got too close to the truck, and it ran over his foot. I don't even think he got ice cream that day. He had to go to the hospital. But if you ask my friend what he did when the ice cream truck ran over his foot, he would say, I screamed. Come on, that's good. I screamed. You know, we have a saying in English in the U.S., I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. I mean, that's funny. The ice cream truck ran over his foot, and he would say, I screamed. I love that. I don't know. If you didn't get it, that will sink in later. But we have to know what is important in life. We have to know what is worth chasing. And you know, if this is your first time with us, if you're a VIP this evening, you may be thinking, what in the world have I walked into? This is crazy so far. Your church notes may look like this. Sunday notes from Pastor Chris. Number 1, chase girls. Number 2, chase ice cream. Number 3, watch your feet. That's very important. Number 4, ice cream sounds like ice cream. But that is not the point. That's not the point. The point tonight is that the key to having a life that makes a difference is chasing what matters. If you want to live a life that makes a difference, the key is chasing what matters most in this world. So you have to know what matters, what is worth chasing. What are the things in this life that I could spend my life chasing them, and at the end of my life, I'm going to find out that wasn't worth chasing? There's a lot of things we chase in life. There's a lot of things that humans chase after, and a lot of it, once you catch it, it's empty, and it's hollow, and it gives you no joy. So we have to find what are the things that are important to chase. We need to have clear focus. We need to know what we are chasing and what's important. We need to have a purpose. And the good news is for every single one of you in this room that God loves you so much that he wanted you to be here this evening so he could remind you that he made you on purpose with a purpose. He loves you that much that he wants to remind you this evening, hey, I made you on purpose and you have a purpose. God doesn't waste time. He doesn't make mistakes. If you're sitting in this room and you are created by God, which all of us are, then he created you for a reason. He created you with a purpose. Your life matters. So our theme verse for this series is Proverbs 29:18. And we looked at this a little bit last week, and tonight we'll just briefly look at it. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. It means when we can't see what God is doing, then there's no way we can know what we should be chasing in life. It causes us to just stumble around. Nothing seems to work out right. If you can't see what God is doing in your life, even your marriage won't work out right. Your relationships won't seem to be working out right. Your businesses, anything you pursue, when you can't see what God is doing, it's just not going to work out right. You end up just stumbling around. And often what we do in those situations when we don't know what we should be chasing, we don't know our purpose, we don't know what this life is all about, we decide just to chase what everyone else is chasing. I mean, we've all had those moments. I'll just chase what this guy's chasing or chase what this girl's chasing. The world says we should chase wealth and we should chase fame and we should chase having all of this stuff and chase all of this popularity and all chase this and this and this. We just end up chasing what everyone else is chasing because we don't understand what God created us to chase. We don't know what our purpose is. We can't see what he's doing. So we just stumble around and we waste our time. And so many people get to the end of their life and they look back and they think, what was I doing? What was it all about? Why was I chasing those things? Why did I waste so much time? But when you see what God is doing, the Bible says you are most blessed. You know what the way of life is. We looked at this verse last week too. Psalm 16:11, it says, you will show me the way of life. God will show you the way of life, what it's all about. The way of life, what this is all for, what life is about. Granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. When you start chasing the right things in life, you will have joy. If you start chasing the right things, this joy, it's part of the promise. If you decide, God, I'm going to quit chasing the things that I've been chasing, and I'm going to chase what is important to you, I'm going to seek your glory, not my own, suddenly you'll be filled with joy because you have purpose. Your life has meaning. So we've been looking at our four vision points. We did last week. We'll do it this week. Because that's what we're going through each week, but we're going backwards. The first vision point is know God, because that is the first step for all of us. The first step to finding joy is knowing God. The first step to finding our purpose is knowing God. The first step of all of it, you can't find any of those things unless you know God. And you may be here this evening, and your first step is just to know a little bit more about him so you can decide if you believe he's real or not. Pastor Chris, I don't even know who God is. Hey, just take a step closer and say, God, show yourself to me. Show me your character. Help me understand who you are. If you take a step toward him, he's going to take a step toward you. Maybe you're here and you've been in church, but you still feel like, I don't understand God. I feel like I've just been a part of a religion, but I don't have a relationship. Take a step closer. That's your next step. I really want to know him. I don't want to just know church. I don't want to just know Christianity. I want to know God. I want to know Jesus. I want to know who he is. That may be your next step. Take a step closer. When you know God, then you can find freedom. That means getting free from those things that are holding you back in life. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's some kind of bad habit that's holding you back. Maybe it's your past that you can't stop thinking about. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's worry, maybe it's fear, whatever those things are. Once you know God, then you can find freedom through Jesus. And you get free from those things that are chaining you up so you can discover your purpose. So you can chase the things that matter, because we can't run, we can't chase something if we're all bound up. We have to find freedom so we can chase those things that matter. And when we do that, then we're able to make a difference. Your life matters. You have meaning. You have a purpose. And when you know what you're doing in this life, suddenly you have this overwhelming joy. There's this peace every day. Hey, I know what this, I know the way of life. I know what life is all about. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I can see what I'm supposed to be chasing. There's joy. There's peace. There's satisfaction. There's nothing better than that in all the world. Most Christians get stuck in one of these two, finding freedom or discovering purpose. Maybe you've been in church for a while and you would say, Pastor, you didn't even need to tell me that. I've experienced it and I've seen it in other people. People can have that moment, hey, I know who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus. I give him my life. Hey, I'm going to go to heaven, but I can never get free from this thing that's holding me back. And there's so many Christians, they're going to be in heaven because they've given their life to Jesus, but their lives won't make a difference because they never got free from the things of this life that have been holding them back. Sometimes we get in these cycles. Man, I believe in Jesus, and I'm just stuck in this thing, and I get free for a moment, and then I fall back in, and I get free for a moment, and then I fall back in, never able to really chase after anything. Jesus wants to give you real freedom. So you step out of that cycle and you don't fall back in it. And that's real freedom. Knowing how to chase after it. Discovering your purpose. That's another place that Christians miss. There was a study done by some seminaries, and they found that 87% of the church doesn't know what its purpose is. 87% of people in church don't know what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. That means the church, the capital C, all of the church, is only running on 13% power. Pastor Kerry talked about power earlier. If only 13% of the church knows what their purpose is, we were missing so much of the impact we could have. Imagine if every single one of us knew what our purpose was each day. We knew what we were supposed to be doing, and we're making a difference. And it wasn't just 13%, but it's 100%. Focused, clear vision, running the race. The problem is there's an enemy to our purpose. The main enemy is just the fact that many Christians are chasing the wrong things. Just chasing the wrong things. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let's think about it like this. He's saying, hey, quit chasing the same things that the rest of the world is chasing. Quit just following in behind everyone and chasing after this and chasing after that without any thought, without any passion, without even any calling. Quit conforming to what everyone else is doing and become a new person by, it says, changing the way you think. We could also say by changing the thing you chase. By changing the things you value, by changing what matters most to you, become a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will. Then you'll find your purpose. Then you'll find what matters. Then you'll know what to chase. When you change yourself, when you change the way you think, when you change the way you see things, you'll know God's will. You'll know God's purpose for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We have to quit chasing the wrong things. And one reason for that is because there is so much more for you. How many of you believe there is more for you in your life? Can you say that? Say, there is more for me. There is more for me. That's why you need to know. It doesn't mean where you are right now is bad, but it's not the end. There's another step. There's more. God has more. God has more joy for you. He has more peace for you. He has more purpose. He has something he wants you to do in this life. So you have to get free from just conforming to what everyone else is doing and chasing what everyone else is chasing. The enemies of your purpose are confusion. That's when we just don't understand what it is. Comparison. When we're too busy looking at what everyone else is doing and how their lives are going to be able to focus on our own life. And the third one is counterfeit. A counterfeit purpose. A purpose young palsu, right? A false purpose. It's counterfeit. So many people spend a lot of their life chasing after something. Hey, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be chasing. And they run hard after it. And they get it one day. And they realize, that gave me no joy. I have it. I chased this for years. I have it. And I'm empty inside. It doesn't even matter. David said in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." He continues in verse 16 and says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." David was confident that God created him with a purpose. God wants you to be confident that he created you with a purpose. He wants you to have that confidence. God, you created my inmost being. You put the things inside of me. You put the things in my heart. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at someone beside you and say, "I am so wonderful." Come on, you know it's true. You might as well say it. No one may have said that to you all week. Just say it yourself. I am so wonderful. You are wonderfully made. God made you wonderful. He made you. You are unique. You don't have to tell anyone that. They already know it, right? They've sat beside you for 30 minutes. "Hey, I'm unique. I know." No, I'm just kidding. We're all unique. God made us all different on purpose. That was part of his plan. Man, God is so creative. How boring if we were all the same. I mean, every once in a while in life, we have that thought, man, I wish everyone was like me and thought like me and they were right all the time about everything like me. Anyone ever have those thoughts? But the truth is, how boring if we were all the same. It's a strength when we can be different on purpose. When we know God created us different on purpose. It's a strength when we can embrace differences and come together. And we see that strength in an international church. We are all different people from different places, different backgrounds, different tribes and tongues. And when we can come together with all of our differences and come together with the same vision, come together with the same purpose, the same God, the same Spirit, the same Savior that is Christ Jesus who gave himself for us. Man, that is power. When the rest of the world teaches division, when the rest of the world says, hey, you can't be friends with people that are different from you. You can't be friends with people that think different. You can't be friends with people that have a different religion or a different political position or whatever it is. But when the church comes together and says, hey, God made us different on purpose and we're together and we have one purpose. We have one Savior and his Spirit is inside of us. When the world sees a church like that, they think, man, that really is from God. Because only God could bring differences together and make it a strength. And God created our inmost being. He put the things inside of you. He put your passions there. He put your desires. He put your gifts inside of you. And God's plan is to take those things that he's put inside of you and all of your wonderfulness and then put his power behind it so that you can make a difference in the world. Listen to that again. He wants to take the passions and the gifts and the desires that he put inside of you in the first place. He wants to take that and all the wonderful things about you, and he wants to put your power, his power behind you so that you can make a difference in the world. And when you do that, he gets the glory. And what do you get? You get joy. And that is an awesome trade-off. Man, we need joy. Every one of us in this room, we want joy. And when we realize, man, God wants to put his power in my life so that I can live on purpose, I can make a difference, he will be glorified, and I will be filled with this joy and wake up every day with purpose and meaning, and I have joy, and I have peace, and I have this calm like we sang about earlier, that the whole world can be in chaos, and I have this calm because I know I am exactly where I need to be, and my God is with me. That's what God has for you. And when you find that, there is nothing better. There is nothing better than that. That is what God wants for every single one of us in this room. That's the way of life. That's what he wants for you. I listened to a testimony this week from a guy named Wayne Simeon. He's a former pro basketball player. He played for the University of Kansas. Then he played for the Miami Heat in the early 2000s, won an NBA championship with the Miami Heat. And he was telling this story about when he was a young man and he was chasing all the things that the world said that young men should chase after. And he had them. He said, I was just a young guy in my 20s. I had money. I had fame. I was a basketball star. I had cars, I had girls, everything that the world said I should be chasing, I had it. And he said he was going to a game, and he got off of the bus, and one of the fans came up to him for an autograph. And he said, Wayne, I wish I had your life. He said when he heard that phrase, it kind of stopped him for a moment. He actually said it felt like someone had punched him in the face. I wish I had your life. He said, this guy didn't know how miserable I was inside. He's saying he wishes he has my life. I don't have any satisfaction. I have no meaning. I have no purpose. I have no joy. I'm miserable. I've chased all these things that the world said I should chase, and now that I have it, it means absolutely nothing. Later, someone shared with him the gospel of Jesus and told him that Jesus came and died on a cross so that his sins could be forgiven, that Jesus was buried and raised from the grave 3 days later so that he could have new life and a purpose. And Wayne Simeon gave his life to Jesus and decided to start following him. And he said that first time that he stepped on the basketball court, he was still playing basketball. That was the passion inside of him. But he said that first time he stepped on the basketball court and he was playing basketball for God's glory instead of his own glory, he said he had this joy and purpose that he had never felt before. The next 2 years of playing basketball were unlike anything he had ever experienced because he wasn't chasing his own glory and his own fame and his own wealth and all of these things for me, me, me. He started chasing God and giving God the glory and able to use his passion for basketball for God. He said, it's a great feeling knowing who you were made to be and what you were made to live for. And that's what all of us want. We want to know who we were made to be and what we were made to live for. And when we find those things, we'll have that experience like Wayne Simeon. It doesn't matter what it is we're doing. We have joy in it. We have joy in it. There's three areas of life that will help us to answer the questions, how do I know what I'm made to live for? How do I find my purpose? How do I know what to chase? Three areas of your life will help answer those. The first one is this: you can discover purpose in your passions. You can discover purpose in your passions. Just like Wayne Simeon, his passion was for basketball. That's what he loved. That's what came natural. I mean, I have to assume God must be an NBA fan. Or whatever basketball association you like, because he must have put the passion there, right? He was able to use Wayne Simeon and his passion for basketball for his glory. He was able to minister to people on the team. After that, he was able to do campus ministries and sports ministries. What passion has God placed inside of you? If he created your innermost being, he knows your desires. He knows the gifts. He knows the passions that he's put inside of your heart. What are your passions? What are those things that you just love? The things that really make you come to life? Maybe the thing that your friends quit asking you about because you'll get so excited, you'll start talking about it, and you'll never shut up. So they're like, hey, don't talk to him about that because you're so passionate. That's it. You're like, man, I could do this for the rest of my life, and I don't ever have to get paid for it. It's my passion. I love it. It just comes natural for me. Many people in here have a passion for playing music. I mean, we have several new amazing musicians on the worship team. Maybe you've seen them over the last few weeks. They found a way to use the passion that God placed inside of them for his glory. And I remember one of the girls on the worship team when Pastor Carrie was interviewing her to join the team, and she asked her, why do you want to be on the worship team? She said, I just want to worship God. And that's what you look for. It wasn't, hey, I want to be on the stage so everyone can see me. I want some glory. She said, I just want to worship God. I've got this passion inside, and I have to worship God. And that's what you look for. What is your passion? Maybe you're a teacher. We have a lot of teachers here in the church. Maybe your passion is for young people. Your passion is for children. Your passion is for teaching. You want to prepare and equip the next generation so they can do great things, so that they can fulfill their purposes. That can be a passion. You can glorify God with that. Man, when you go to school on Monday morning and walk into your classroom, it can be crazy. And you still have joy because you know, hey, my purpose is to be here teaching them. You have the joy in that. You have purpose. My passion is encouraging people. I just love to encourage people. It's my passion. My passion is to build people up. My passion is to help people find freedom in their life so that they can discover their purpose. It's what I'm passionate about. That's how I ended up being up here every week. I'm not up here because I like being on a stage. I'm very uncomfortable up here in the front. I'm extremely uncomfortable in front of crowds of people. I hate it. Right now, while I'm talking about it and looking at your faces, it's making me even more nervous. I'm not up here because I like being in front of people. I'm up here because my purpose is to encourage people. And every Sunday when I'm here, let me just let you know, I'm scared every Sunday I step up here. I think that's a healthy kind of fear because I can't do this on my own. And I tell God before I step on the stage, God, I can't do this if you're not with me. This isn't what I want to do. This isn't what I'm good at. I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm not the best presenter. I'm nervous. I have a hard time speaking in front of crowds. God, I can't do this unless you're with me. And he reminds me, I've called you to encourage my people. This is your purpose. This is how your life has meaning. So I can stand up here each week, and it gives me joy to be able to stand here and encourage you. It gives me joy to tell you, hey, you have a purpose. It gives me joy to hopefully give you some of God's word that will help you leave this place better than how you came in. And to be able to do that each week. All of us have a different passion. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All of us have something that just comes natural. We don't really have to work hard at it. Some of you may be like me, encouraging is easy. Some of you may not feel like that. We all understand it doesn't mean, well, I have this one, I don't need the other ones, right? God teaches us to have a little bit of all of it. This scripture doesn't mean someone can say, oh, this is great for me because I don't like to encourage. I'm a discourager. It doesn't matter. I have one of the other ones. I just like to discourage people and tell people, why try? You know, why don't you just quit? You know, maybe like Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, that's what Job's wife did. But maybe you're like, you know, you see this like, well, mercy's not my thing. I like to be pretty brutal. No, we have to have a little bit of all of it. But there's one of them will just really fit with your life. Like, man, this is it. Hey, I have this gift of showing mercy. I don't have any problem showing mercy to people. Maybe you have this gift of generosity. And I believe a lot of people in this church have a gift of generosity because we were able to raise all the money for our renovations. Let me show you some announcement. Do you guys want to see some announcements of our new place? All right, let's check this out. We already showed you the date, but we're going to show you this again because we have invitations printed like this so you can take some at the end of service. You can keep one to remind yourself, September 15th, September 15th, September 15th. And so you'll notice, since this is the 5 p.m. service, at Lipo it's going to be 4 p.m. So we moved it down a little bit to try to help the 1:30 people because there is no 1:30, right? So just to help spread things out and help people have a place to fit. But keep one to remind yourself and give some to your family and friends so they can be here and they can enjoy the launch into the new place. I love this. It says prepare for the new season because I am excited about this new season. I'm excited. That's what this series, it's why it's leading into all of this. I'm excited about our next steps as a church. I'm excited about your next steps. I'm excited about the new season. I'm not even sad to leave Cambridge. And I have loved it here at Cambridge. We've been here for 3 years. We have a great relationship with the management. Everything's good here. I mean, we basically can do whatever we want. It's such a nice situation. They just ran out of space for us. So we're moving, but I'm not sad to move because I'm excited about the new things. I told Pastor Carey, the word I have in my spirit for this year for us as a church is that it's a year of new things. And I don't just believe that's for Icy Maidon. I believe that's for each and every one of you. That's why God's preparing you and showing you, hey, I need you to take some steps. Because you can't have anything new if you don't take a step, right? I mean, standing right here, this is old, but when I pick my foot off the ground and take a step, that's new. Wow, I've never been this far before. Then he shows you the next step. I've never been there. There's new things. The next big announcement is the financial side. Okay, if you remember, our estimated budget for renovations was 1.2 billion rupiah. You guys raised 1.4 billion rupiah. Can you give yourselves a hand? That's because there's a lot of people in this church that have this gift of generosity. And some people, that is just their gift. Some people, when they have money, what gives them joy is giving it to something, to have purpose, have meaning. Let me tell you something about the gift of generosity. It has nothing to do with how much money comes into your life. It has to do with what portion of that you give. You don't have to be the wealthiest person to have the gift of generosity. For some people, if they put $200,000 toward a building fund, it's bigger than someone else giving $20,000. So the gift of generosity has nothing to do with your income. It has to do with your heart. But some people have that gift, and their joy is when they give. Some people, like this says, have the passion and the gift for leading. Maybe you just have to lead things. You know, in our team and in our staff, we're always looking for people that have that passion or that gift for leading. All of these things the church can't function without. The church can't function without the gift of generosity. The church can't function without the gift of leadership. I mean, sometimes we've even seen people, wow, this person has got to be leading something and we'll make them a leader before there's something to lead. Does that even make sense? But if you see someone that has that gift of leadership, you better go ahead and make them a leader because they've got to lead something. It's a passion. Hey, you're a leader. What am I leading? Just lead. People will follow. I don't know what I'm leading. People still follow because they have the passion. And when you have a passion, you have to be doing it. For others, it's music. For others, it's whatever. Whatever that thing is you feel in your heart. And when I've been sharing this, you know what it is. Man, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I have to do. You can discover your purpose in your passions. Can I ask for the worship team to come up? The second one is this. You can discover purpose in your personal experience. That means your day-to-day personal experience. Where does God have you right now in life? And I don't mean right here in Icy Maidon at the 5 p.m. service. Yeah, Pastor, you see me. No, I mean in this season of your life, where does God have you? Where does he have you right now? I know this about every single one of us. We are all in Maidon, Indonesia in September 2019. And if you believe in God, if you believe you were created with a purpose, if you believe that he ordains the footsteps of the righteous, then you have to believe that you are here in Maidan in this season right now, and it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. I don't care how you got to Maidan. If you are here right now, God means for you to be here. And we miss that when we're always looking, well, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be over here. I should be there. I want to be doing this. I wanted to be doing that. If you are in Maidan right now in this season for such a time as this, if you believe in God, you have to believe I am right where I am supposed to be. I'm a child of God. I'm not lost. I didn't just end up in the wrong place. Well, I'm one of God's children. I don't know why he lost me. No, he didn't lose you. You're where you're supposed to be. And you can find purpose in that. When you stop looking beyond and you start looking at the day that's before you, maybe you wake up tomorrow and you say, God, I give you this day. Help me to have purpose in it. God, I give you this day. Show me my purpose. Suddenly, you're not looking for other things. And as you go through your life on Monday, you see this person over here that needs encouragement. They've been there all along. Your purpose was always to encourage that person, and you've missed it. Maybe for weeks, maybe for months, maybe for years, someone right there, and you realize, wait a minute, this is part of my purpose right here, right now, right where I am. Man, this girl sitting at the desk, two desks over from me, she's going through some struggle in her life. I've never even slowed down to notice. Maybe I can help her. You can discover purpose in your personal experience, whatever it is, whatever is right there, the people around you, the places you go day to day. Where are you on Monday? Where are you on Tuesday? Where are you on Wednesday? If you are God's child, you are there on purpose. He put you there. Look around. What is your purpose in that place? The final one is not as exciting to talk about, but it's true. You can discover purpose in your pain. You may be saying, Pastor Chris, I don't want the pain part. Let me just find my purpose in the passions. But the truth is, every single one of us in this room experiences pain. We've all gone through painful situations. Some of you, maybe it's something that you went through in the past and you're already through it. Some of you sitting in here today, you may still be in a season of pain right now. Let me tell you what Paul said to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he said, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He's not the source of your pain. He's the source of the comfort. And he says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And if you're going through a season of pain, let me tell you, God is with you right now. In my life, some of the times I have felt closest to God, some of the times where my relationship has grown closer than ever before has been in the times of pain. And I would love it if it's always just praises and hallelujah and hands in the air and jumping up and down. But just the reality of life, sometimes there's those moments of pain. And in those moments when I realize, hey, God is sitting right beside me and he has his arm around me. And that's when I knew God. That's when your faith grows. That's when you know who he is. Man, the hallelujahs and the praises are awesome. But God is there in the pain. And he's going to strengthen you through it. Tomorrow morning when you see someone that needs encouragement, the reason you're going to be able to comfort them is because God has comforted you. You've been there. Hey, I know what pain feels like. There's purpose in the pain. Learn to value your bad days. If you have a bad day this week, value it. Because in that bad day, you can know God better. In that bad day, you're going to come out strong. We always come out on the other side. If you're a child of God, you always come out on the other side. And you always come out stronger. Just lean on him. Value the bad days. Value the struggles. Value the difficult situations. Value the hurt. Value the pain. Do you know how Jesus is able to comfort us? Like he was saying, God is the source of all comfort. Jesus is able to comfort us because he experienced pain himself. He came and walked on the earth and he experienced all of the pain that you are feeling in your life and that you will feel. And he can comfort you. Whatever you experience, Jesus has been there and he'll be there with you. I used to run track in high school along with dating the most beautiful girl there. I ran track. Some of you are looking at me like, no, I don't see it. It was like 20-something years ago. I don't run anymore unless I'm being chased. Or if there's a sale at Jayco. But I used to run track and I enjoyed running. And there's some tips in running that help you get stronger. We have some runners in the church. They'll know this. If you want to get stronger, if you want to get stronger in your running, you want to get faster, one of the tips for a runner is to run more hills. Find a hill and run up it. Hey, start running up toward Brastagi. If you want to get stronger in running, if you want to get faster, run a hill. Run more hills. What we know about running more hills is not only does it make us stronger, not only does it make us better runners, not only does it make us faster, it is far more painful to run up a hill. But when you realize, man, that's how we get strong. That's the tip. That there's pain. There's purpose in our pain. There's purpose in running up a hill. You get strong. And when you get to the top, you're like, man, this is easier now. I've already got stronger. The next hill won't even be as bad. When you hit level ground, you're faster. You're running better than you've ever run before. And when you see someone else struggling up a hill, you've been there. You can say, hey, man, we're going to make it. I've been exactly where you were. Come on. We can get up this mountain together. There's purpose. There's purpose even in your pain. Would you stand up with me, please? God wants to use everything in your life. He wants to use everything in your life. He wants to use the passions that you have. He put them there. Discover your purpose and your passions. He wants to use your everyday life, just your waking up and going to work, the sleeping and eating, the everyday personal experience. He will use that if you let him. You'll discover purpose in it. And when you're in those times of pain, you'll find purpose there too. You may be in a season of pain right now, and it's because God wants to use you to help someone else later. Just embrace it. Just learn to value it. Hey, God is doing something. I'll get through this. I'm going to be stronger on the other side, and I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.